Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest the director of administration for the city of Pawtucket, Tony Pires. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here. Hello, everybody.
The PawSox quest for a new stadium in Pawtucket appears dead, at least for right now. Governor Gina Raimondo has been unwilling to support the team's proposal, and some critics pointed to how the PawSox owners offered to put in only $12 million of equity for a $73 million stadium. So, Tony, did the owners and the city of Pawtucket fundamentally misread the level of public support for this kind of proposal?
No, I don't think we've misread it at all. I think that when you take a look at the deal, so to speak, and you can get into the numbers, it's an $83 million deal when you include land acquisition. The ball club is committed to $45 million of that money.
Over a 30-year period.
So is the city and the state portion of $38 million, part of a 30-year commitment as well. Most of those monies will be funded by bonding over a 30-year period, except for the PawSox $12 million upfront equity contribution to the
project. Let me stop you there. And before we go to Scott and Maureen, what is the next step from the city of Pawtucket's perspective on this proposal? Where do things go from here?
Well, we want to get this in front of the legislature. We've worked months with Commerce Rhode Island to bring what we think is a financial package before the legislature, before the citizens of the state of Rhode Island, so that we can have a public vetting of this project. And our hope is that we want to submit the legislation. Depending on the wishes of the General Assembly, it will either be this session or possibly in a special session in the fall. In any event, we're committed to this. The city of Pawtucket sees this as a potential resurrection of a city, not unlike the renaissance that you're experiencing here in Providence these days. Years ago, 20 years ago, there was a great controversy over the state funding a mall and a convention center. I can't say that all of the development that you have here today is because of that, but what was part of that approach 20-some years ago was the fact that that investment would generate additional multiplier effect investments throughout the city.
Scott, at this point, Governor Raimondo and the legislature seem very disinterested in examining this proposal. So is Pawtucket's hope that this will be taken up on Smith Hill? Does that have a basis in reality?
I hope it does. I mean, I'll never forget when Bruce Sundland, after the banking crisis, without voter approval, built an airport. And I think there's been a real lack of leadership at the State House. Sometimes I think that the Speaker and the Governor are more interested in fighting each other than working together. And that's not a good thing for the state.
What is your view on this, Maureen?
Well, my view is I think the timing was unfortunate because we're just now getting the details of the package. So, I mean, the idea that they can pass it by the end of this session seems unlikely. I do think that the context is important in that we're struggling with the car tax. We're talking about these huge shortfalls. And to plop this down at the middle or the end of the session, I think makes it very difficult and has people sinister about it. I think, the best shot is in the fall.
This process actually began in the fall of last year when the state, the city, and the team came together to do a study on McCoy Stadium. We needed to get a baseline understanding as to what investments would need to be made in McCoy. And that came out in late January, early February. So this has been a conversation that's been taking place for a while. Back then, we didn't anticipate a $100 million deficit or a car tax debate or what might be happening between the various parties. So,
and the false start that you got when you proposed the stadium in Providence, that set you back considerably.
That was prior to our involvement,
of course.
But it does set
you back.
But yeah, so this has been in the public arena for quite some time, and it's all very interesting from a political standpoint. But again, from the city's perspective, it's not so much about the ball team. It's all about what the ballpark does and how it can regenerate our city and frankly, resurrect our city.
Well, let's shift gears. This week, House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello offered more details on his plan to phase out the car tax over 6 years, but there were no specifics on how to pay for this beyond economic growth and leaner government. Tony Pires, you're obviously a former chairman of the House Finance Committee. You've scrutinized a lot of budgets. Do you think this plan is sustainable, or will it be rescinded after Speaker Mattiello is no longer in office?
Well, having been the the person who really initiated the initial cot-tax phase-out. In retrospect, we look back, and at that time, the state was doing very well from a financial standpoint. We saw a pathway, which was continued growth, just as Speaker Matt Aiello sees today. I think if I had to do this all over again, what I would have done would have been initiate the car tax repeal. I also would have gone one step further to make it much more difficult to repeal in the future, would have been to then put it on the ballot so that Rhode Islanders could actually make a change to the Constitution to eliminate car taxes completely. That would be my recommendation. I think he's on the right track. I think he submits it. I think he gets it going. If he wants to sustain that over a long period of time, I would think that he might want to consider taking that to the voters for them to repeal the car tax permanently.
How about that point, Maureen? It could be very easy for the car tax to come back, even if it is phased out now.
Well, the thing is that you expect economic growth, and you can always demand leaner government. I mean, it's there. I mean, you'd have to make a trade-off. Everybody hates the car tax. I don't think there's one legislator who's going to vote against it. Patricia Morgan loves the idea of cutting the car tax. So I think we have to make this step. And I think the way it's phased out, it seems fairly reasonable. To bring the voters in now, I'm not sure what that solves.
No, I'm not, and I don't mean to bring them in now. I mean to pass the legislation to begin the process. But if you want that to endure so that future generations of legislators or governors won't be able to come in very easily and eliminate it, then that's what you do. You got to remember back in the late 90s when we instituted this, we could not foresee the 2008 economic downturn, which was the worst in 80 years.
Scott, as Tony says, there was an economic downturn that led the state to reverse course once before with the car tax. Stephen Frias, who was Speaker Mattiello's opponent in Cranston last year, predicts that any phase-out will be short-lived and that this will run up the state's structural deficits. What do you say?
I think it's a problem. I really do. I don't think that Mattiello has outlined, and I don't believe the state has done its due diligence. Haven't seen a real physical note on what this looks like 5 or 6 years out. And as Tony just mentioned, you can't predict the economy. You can't predict revenues that well, that specifically, and down to that minuscule level. This far out. You just don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. We do know that our revenues are not producing at a rate that's going to give us today $221 million in 6 years.
So you do nothing?
No, but there's a compromise here. The governor has said we could cut it maybe 30%.
And let me, again, from a perspective of having been a chairman of finance, this is also about local communities having a share of the state income tax for generations to come. It means that they don't have to rely solely on property taxes for them to run their cities. This is an important public policy decision, not just a money decision.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the Director of Administration for the City of Pawtucket, Tony Pyrus.
Thank you for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.